question was raised after the last class about the difference between Atmanivedanam and Sharanagati. So I thought the question was interesting for others. And the answer is that Atmanivedanam does not necessarily involve an intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee. We can take the example of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj practically had no relationship with the Lord, but still he surrendered everything to the Lord. But there was no intimate relationship. Of course, there are others, like Ambarish Maharaj, who had an intimate relationship with the Lord. But just the fact of surrendering everything does not guarantee that the person will have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Whereas in Sharanagati, definitely there's an intimate relationship. Because the six symptoms of surrender themselves indicate that there's an intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee. Where the devotee has completely surrendered unto the Lord and has accepted the Lord as his guardian and maintainer, like a father. And he has accepted the Lord as his protector. So there is a very intimate relationship in Sharanagati, which may or may not be there in Atmanivedanam. Even if we take Atma to be the self, different people have different conceptions of the self. Some people think that the body is the self. So if they surrender the body, they think they've surrendered the self. Like Bali Maharaj, after giving the upper planetary systems and the lower planetary systems, finally he gave his body. So that doesn't mean that he actually had realized his eternal identity as spirit soul. But in Sharanagati, there is a deep relationship between the Lord and the devotee. And the devotee fully appreciates the greatness of the Lord and the kindness of the Lord. So, out of the 64 items of regulative devotional service, which five are most important or potent? Yes. Yes. Worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, chanting the holy name, and living in Mathura. So now we come to those items. This is chapter 11. Oh, no. We finished chapter 11. Yes, chapter 12. 12 and 13 both deal with the five most potent forms of devotional service. Chapter 12 deals with them in the same way as the other 59 items. And chapter 13 has some special prayers specifically composed by Rupa Goswami in glorification of the five items. But otherwise the five items come in chapter 12. That we read at the end of the list, Rupa Goswami says that the five most potent forms were already included in the first 59 items, but they have been repeated again for special emphasis. So now we come to page 104, serving the deity. And then recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. So we're going to discuss mainly about three items, namely hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and chanting the holy name. So if we turn to page 71 in the verse book, we will find the verse, or one of the verses, quoted by Rupa Goswami about the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the method for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigamakalpa taror galitam phalam shukamukad amrita dravasam yutam pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhuvakka. Nigama kalpataro means, kalpataro means desire tree, and nigama means Vedic literatures. So, and galitam phalam means ripened fruit. So, the Vedic literatures are like a desire tree, which can fulfill the various desires of all living beings, especially dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature, and it gives something beyond the char purusharthas, or the four achievements of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And what does the Bhagavatam give? Yes, prema, Krishna prema. Prema pumartho mahan. Lord Chaitanya has said that beyond the four achievements of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, the highest achievement is prema. Prema pumartho mahan. So Srimad Bhagavatam deals with prema, or gives to us prema. Now, it is mentioned that the fruit comes down to us from the top of the tree without being damaged or broken. If the fruit falls from the top of the tree to the ground, certainly it will be broken, and the juice will run onto the ground. So how is it that we can receive the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge without it being broken or damaged? Janardhan? Yes, through parampara. In other words, the first person to receive the fruit is Brahma, who's on the highest branch. Then he hands the fruit to Narada. Narada hands it to Vyas. Vyas hands it to Shukadeva. And what happens when he hands it to Shukadeva? That is also mentioned here. Shuka Mukat means from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. But Shuka has another meaning. Yes. Parrot, yes. Shuka means parrot. And when a fruit is tasted by a parrot, it becomes sweeter. Actually, some farmers in Africa were speaking to me, and they had practical experience. They didn't know anything about the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, but they were just mentioning in ordinary way that they knew that the fruits that had been cut by the parrots were sweeter. They became sweeter. So this means that we should receive the fruit through disciplic succession so that the fruit is not broken or damaged. And furthermore, the fruit can become sweeter when it touches the mouth of a pure devotee like Shukadeva Goswami. Sukamukat amrita dravya samyutam. And it is like nectar. The fruit is just like nectar. Then pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam. Just drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of rasa, or transcendental mellows. Now, how can one drink a fruit? Usually we eat a fruit. But here the verse says we should drink the fruit. So how is it possible to drink a fruit? Yes. This fruit has no seed or rind. It is pure nectar. That means that the Bhagavatam, or the fruit of the Bhagavatam, has only bhakti in it, or prema in it, rasa. There is no karma, jnana, or yoga. There is no tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun. It is all transcendental. Prem ras. Therefore, there are no inferior elements. It is all pure nectar. Then muhu means constantly. Sometimes people in India or elsewhere organize Bhagavat Saptaha to hear Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. But muhu means constantly. And constantly means even after liberation. Like Shukadeva Goswami, he was liberated from birth, but still he relished the fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the fruit should be relished constantly. That means the tastes of the fruit are ever fresh. In the ocean of rasa, there are ever fresh tastes, ever new waves. And the taste is always new, always newer and newer tastes. And therefore the Bhagavatam can be relished constantly even after liberation. In fact, it can really be relished after liberation. Then one becomes rasika. Rasika means one who is expert in relishing rasa. So no other literature can compare to Srimad Bhagavatam. But we should study Srimad Bhagavatam with rasikas, means with pure devotees, not with karmis or gyanis or yogis, but with pure devotees. And when we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with pure devotees, then we can relish the nectar better. In fact, one of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions before he left the world here in Vrindavan was to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible. He said, the more you discuss the Bhagavatam, the more the meanings become clear. He said, each and every word is transcendental. And it was compiled by Mahamuni Krite. It was compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva. And he said, each and every word is transcendental. So that instruction has actually been recorded in one of the last purports to the 10th canto that Srila Prabhupada wrote. So he wanted us also to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. Then Rupa Goswami quotes one more verse about Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. Parinishtito pinayagunye uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarshe akyanam yad adhitavan. Shukadeva Goswami addressed Parikshit Maharaj. This is on the next page, 72 and 73. My dear king, although I was fully situated in the transcendental position, I was nonetheless attracted to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam from my father. So Sukadeva Goswami was liberated from birth, before birth. Actually, he did not want to come out of the womb because he was already liberated. And he had no desire to enjoy the material world. In fact, he was afraid of the material world, or Maya. So he stayed within the womb for 16 years. After 16 years, he came out. And without any discussion or any reciprocation, he just left the house immediately. As soon as he came out of the womb, he left the house to go to the forest. And his father, Vyasadeva, ran after him, shouting to him that he should come back. But there was no reply from Shukadeva Goswami. Vyasadeva heard only the echoes of the words amongst the trees. So he was liberated from birth. No material attachment at all. Then his father sent one messenger with two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadeva Goswami. And when he heard the two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, he became attracted. Although he was completely liberated from material attraction, he experienced spiritual attraction to Krishna. And then he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, from Vyasadeva. Anything about Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, how come these incidents have been recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam before they actually occurred? And it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that there was a trap. And yet his father spoke Srimad Bhagavatam.
The events were recorded after they happened. I mean, the events that we're discussing now. You see, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam after Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. Some things are foretold, like the appearance of Lord Buddha or the appearance of Lord Kalki. Well, they're the four shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. They existed, you know, they were told by Brahma to Narada, and then they were elaborated. It's true.
I have a question regarding terms of Rasika. You say it's like one is actually enjoying Rasa. Text 151, it seems to be another meaning which is given. So how we should...
No, it's not different. You're saying intelligent and humorous devotees. Their humor means mellow. So we talk about five mellows. Shantaras, Dasyaras. So here humor means rasas. It doesn't mean funny.
What was the form that Vyasadeva instructed Shukadeva to listen to?
It isn't mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe somewhere else. Now we will go on to association with devotees. Page 74 in the verse book. Tulyama lavenapi nasvargam napurnar bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutashisha. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Srila Prabhupada explains to the purport of the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that two things can be compared if they have something in common. But here, a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to heavenly enjoyment or even liberation, what to speak of earthly pleasures. Because for the things to be compared, there has to be something in common. But the desire for material elevation and even the desire for spiritual emancipation are material. Now, what is the specific value of a moment's association with a devotee?
can attract one to Krishna.
It can attract one to Krishna. More precisely, that's it. That by a moment's association with a devotee, one can get the seed of bhakti. And what is the fruit of the seed of bhakti? Prema. Prema bhakti. So, how can you compare the fruit of bhakti, which is prema, with the fruit of karma or jnana, which will be bhukti and mukti? You can't compare them. Why not? Why can they not be compared?
Because bhakti is completely devoted to bhukti and mukti. So there is no common ground for comparison. Because bhakti gives peace.
Gives
peace.
Peace. Well,
bhakti is the eternal enjoyment, whereas bhukti and mukti is temporary.
That's the answer. That's the answer. That bhakti is eternal, and bhukti and mukti are only temporary. And not only that, the happiness that one derives from bhakti cannot be compared to the happiness derived from bhukti or mukti. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, when someone spoke about peace of mind, and Srila Prabhupada said that when that peace of mind is also material, because you can get peace of mind by going to sleep or by getting drunk. So our goal is not peace of mind. Now that is true. Then it is true. He's saying he was referring to the verse Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta. That is correct. Only devotees are peaceful. But still, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that that without peace there is no question of happiness. What we actually want is happiness, which includes peace or is more than peace. Okay, let us discuss the verse and then we'll take questions. Okay, so by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can get the seed of bhakti. And the fruit of bhakti, which is prema, cannot be compared to bhukti or mukti, because it is eternal. And the happiness that one gets from bhakti is so much greater than the happiness from bhukti or mukti that one cannot even compare the two. Now, here the devotees are called Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. The association of devotees. Devotees are called Bhagavat Sanghi. They are in association with the Lord. So we want the association of persons who have the association of Krishna. And opposed to Bhagavat Sanghi, Sangasya, is Stri Sanghi, Sangasya. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev tells Devahuti that nothing is harmful to any person as the association of men who are attached to the association of women. So just as the association of men who take the association of women for sense gratification is most harmful. Similarly, associating with devotees who have the association of Krishna is most beneficial. It is more beneficial to associate with someone who is associated with the Lord than to associate with the Lord directly. Just like it may be more harmful to associate with a man who is attached to women than to associate with a woman. So, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. Because we may see the Lord, but we may not recognize Him, and we may not serve Him. But if we associate with a devotee, he can tell us, who is the Lord, who am I, what is my relationship with Him, and how to serve Him. So we'll get more benefit by associating with the devotee than by associating with the Lord directly. And same thing, that by associating with a man who's attached to a woman, one may get more bad ideas about how to behave with the woman than he might get if he just associated with the woman. So association is very important. Okay, now. Association. Who can define association? Yes. Intimate exchanges. And what exchanges? Yes. Didati pritigrinati guyam akyati pritchati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadbi priti lakshana. Six exchanges of love shared among devotees. Giving charitable gifts, accepting gifts in charity. Revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, and offering prasad and accepting prasad. So this is how to associate with devotees. And similarly, we should avoid such exchanges with non-devotees. So if we turn back to verse 1 to 93, which comes on page 51. That we mentioned, the glorification of these five items, association with devotees, chanting the holy name, and so on, is to make known the complete superiority of these five practices of devotional service. And then on the next page, Srimad Bhagavatarthanam Asvado Rasakai Saha. This is Rupa Goswami's verse explaining two of the five items. Srimad Bhagavatarthanam Asvada Rasika Saha. One should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees. Rasikai Saha. And as far as association, Sajatiyasaye Snigde Sado Sangha Svatovare. And one should associate with the devotees who are more advanced than oneself and endowed with a similar type of affection for the Lord. We should associate with like-minded devotees, because then we will be able to reciprocate with them. Even if someone is very advanced, but if he comes in another sampradaya, we won't be able to reciprocate with him as intimately as with someone in the same sampradaya. So we should associate with like-minded devotees whose qualities we can appreciate and with whom we can associate intimately. We can disclose our minds to them and they can disclose their minds to us. And by disclosing our minds and disclosing one's mind in confidence, sharing one's thoughts and experiences and realizations in Krishna consciousness.
About the suffering of the living entity. He says that the soul doesn't suffer when the body suffers, but when there is contact, then the soul and inside the body will suffer. So in a broad term, associating with a devotee or associating with one's thoughts, I think a person can be in one spot with other devotees and not associating with them. Or
true.
Maybe he's distant in a distant place and he's associated.
Yes. One may be physically close but not in association. And one may be physically distant but in association. That is true. That is true. But if we are in association, even when separated geographically, then how much will we be in association if we are close together? That is even better. If we can, if we have the opportunity, then we can. But it's true, the main... Anyway, but if we get the chance, we should associate in person, especially with more advanced devotees. All right, so tomorrow we are going to continue on the five main items, especially the chanting of the holy name. And we may begin the next chapter, not chapter 13, that's five potent forms of devotional service, but chapter 14. So I will give you the homework